I am weary. I'm weary, O God, and I'm worn out. So said a man called Agur in Proverbs 30, verse 1, and so say all of us. Here we are, 8 months into this global pandemic, and we are all weary. We're pandemic weary. According to a recent survey by Britain Thinks, 50% of people report mental health problems resulting from the crisis. And the top challenges given were loneliness and hopelessness. So the sense that this is never going to end. Now, there is some light at the end of the tunnel now with this news of a vaccine this past week, but we still don't know when life might return to normal. And we're not able to plan holidays yet and look forward to that. We're working from home mostly, and so your world shrinks to the size of your flat or your room. And many have felt a sense of despair entering a second lockdown as winter closes in and the days get shorter. The uncertainty about whether December the 2nd really is going to be the end of it and what Christmas is going to be like. The sense of helplessness with change being imposed on us and the feeling of life being on hold. I'm weary, O God, and worn out. And Christians feel this as much as anyone. There is a weariness, a Groundhog Day feeling that is an inescapable part of life in a fallen world. As Ecclesiastes 1:8 puts it, all things are full of weariness. And as well as being pandemic weary like everyone else, we as Christians have the added disappointment and the frustration of physical church services being closed down again. Where can we find refreshment? So how can we be revived and restored in these weary days? Well, that is our focus today. And to find answers, we're turning to God's word. Where does God say that refreshment for the weary is to be found? If you are thirsty, someone might give you an ice-cold can of Coke, or they might show you where to get one. Well, this talk is more showing you where to get the drink rather than the drink itself. It's about where the Bible says that the weary can find refreshment for our body and mind, soul, strength, and heart, to use Jesus' words from Mark 12:30. Holistic refreshment. First, then, refresh your body with rest from God. Exodus 23, verse 12. God said, "For 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and donkey may rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed." God commanded his Old Testament people to have one day off from work every week for rest and for refreshment. And so important was this that it made it into the Ten Commandments at number four. But this pattern of work and rest actually predated the giving of the law. It was established by God in the very beginning when he created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now, whatever your views on the Sabbath today, all Bible-believing Christians agree that a day off work each week is part of the creation pattern. It's how God has designed things, designed us, so for our rest and refreshment. We need time off work, and we neglect this at our peril. For some, the pandemic has brought the challenge of being on furlough or being made redundant. But for others, the challenge is that work has become even more intense. Longer hours, screen fatigue, no variation. And other activities being restricted has meant that for some, work has taken over every waking hour. One of the few things that I remember from chemistry lessons at school is that a gas will expand to fill whatever space is made available to it. And so will work. So will work. It's what's called Parkinson's law. Work will expand to fill whatever space we make available to it. But regularly working all hours is not productive, so it's not an efficient or a smart way to work. It's not balanced, that is, there's more to life than work, and no one at the end of their life says, I wish I'd spent more time at work. And it's not godly, because it's ignoring God's pattern for our lives, and it means we end up neglecting other things that matter, not least relationships. Now, some jobs demand more than others. Some bargees occupy senior roles with big responsibilities at work, which are not 9-to-5 jobs. Is that wrong? Well, the Bible nowhere says, thou shalt only work 9-to-5. Joseph and Daniel had senior roles in government, but it is always good to check our motives. Why am I doing this? What's driving me? Has work become my God? How much is this about status and identity and money? And we need to cultivate weekly and daily patterns of life that include rest and refreshment and relationships and time for other responsibilities. We need to take breaks, get out for a walk, some fresh air, see friends, serve in our churches and communities, spend time with our families, and do other things that we enjoy. Winston Churchill, who was Prime Minister for 9 years, he said that just as you can wear out the elbows on your coat, so you can wear out a particular part of your mind by constantly using it and tiring it out. But, he said, the tired parts of the mind can be rested and strengthened not merely by rest, but by using other parts. If you rest, he said, that your mind just keeps busy. But he said it's only when new cells are called into activity that relief, repose, and refreshment are afforded. It's why he took up painting as a hobby. It used other parts of his mind. Now, we're already talking about the mind, whereas this first point was supposed to be about the body, but everything, of course, is interconnected. There was a second century heresy called Gnosticism, which taught, among other things, that the spiritual is all that matters, and the body, matter, is evil. A guy called Irenaeus fought against such wrong ideas. The body is a gift from God, and we need to look after it. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 12, David and his men come across an exhausted Egyptian. It says, they gave him water to drink, and a piece of cake of figs, and 2 clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived. For refreshment, we need to look after ourselves physically. Good diet, rest, exercise, sunshine, variety, it's biblical. And it would be ironic, wouldn't it? It would be ironic if the mind-body-spirit section of the local Waterstones had a better grasp of this than we do as Christians. Second, refresh your mind with the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The first half of that psalm is about God's general revelation in creation, and the second half is about his special revelation in his word, in the Bible. This law of the Lord revives the soul as we meditate on it and live it out. So God's word goes on a journey from, well, into our minds as we read or hear it, and then into our hearts as we meditate on it, and so restores our soul, bringing spiritual refreshment and revival. God's word is the food that our souls need. As Jesus said in response to the devil's first temptation, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is soul food. So as we feed on God's word, it will strengthen us and revive us. And if we neglect it, we will be spiritually weak and weary. How long can you go without food before you start feeling hungry? I find that by mid-morning, I'm getting pretty peckish. And if I skip a meal, I'm going to be flagging pretty quickly. Food is fuel. How long can you go without feeding on God's word? Our bodies need physical food to grow and to function properly, and our minds and our souls need the spiritual food of God's life-giving, mind-refreshing, soul-restoring word. If we just fill our minds with the news, with the latest on the pandemic, with the US elections, with work, we are going to be spiritually weak and weary. The Word of God refocuses us on God Himself and on what ultimately matters, on salvation and on eternity, on what God is doing in the world and on how we should live. It gives us perspective. And so we need to keep feeding on God's Word every day, Sunday sermons, Bible study groups, daily Bible reading and meditation. Our spiritual health depends on having a good regular diet. Now, working from home, some have been finding that it's harder to keep up with regular Bible reading and meditation. Why not go for a walk with your Bible and read it in the park, you know, rather than doing everything in the same physical space? Why not change things up a bit? One of the mantras of fitness training is that variation helps motivation. Variation helps motivation. That is to say, if you just keep doing the same exercise program day after day, week after week, very hard to keep going. Variation helps motivation. And the same is true with daily Bible reading. The same is true. That when we feel in a rut, it can help to introduce some variation. So perhaps ditch the reading program and instead just go through whatever the most recent sermon was on that you heard. Or learn a psalm by heart and chew it over. Or, you know, try something different for a few weeks. Proverbs 25, verse 25 says, "Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Our thirsty souls long for good news, and they're not going to find it on the BBC. But God's word is full of good news from a far country, the good news of the gospel. Now that is the news that our thirsty minds and souls need to be drinking in. Back in the early 90s, there was a Conservative Party campaign called Back to Basics, and that became something of a catchphrase. And as believers, we need regularly, daily, to be going back to basics. The basics of the gospel, of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news from the far country, which is cold water to our thirsty souls. Third, refresh your soul with the presence of God. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David was in the desert of Judah, a dry and weary land, no water. He was thirsty, but he was spiritually thirsty as well. And so earnestly he sought God. God himself is the answer to our spiritual thirst and weariness. So as we seek and find him and follow him, he restores us spiritually. David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." One of my brothers planted some sunflower seeds a few months ago. So he and his, some of his colleagues had a competition to see who could grow the tallest sunflower. And his are now some 5 foot tall. But he told me the other day that one sunny day he came back and found them lying completely flat on the ground. But once he watered them, they stood up tall again. Well, when we're spiritually weary, we may feel like that sunflower lying flat on the ground. But God himself revives and restores us as we come to him in prayer. Now, that coming to him involves coming in repentance and faith. Acts 3:19, Peter says, "Repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Well, as the Christian life begins, so it continues. Times of refreshing come from the Lord as we repent and turn again. Turn from sin and come back to the Lord. By contrast, when we hide our sin and we don't confess it and we don't turn from it, it weighs us down and it makes us weary. As someone has put it, our sins are not just sort of heavenly parking tickets. They are a personal offence against God, and so they create distance in the relationship. Now, David experienced this, didn't he, in Psalm 32, verse 4. He says, "Day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Now, that changed when he confessed his sin to the Lord instead of hiding it. So that is something we need to be doing each day, coming to the Lord in prayer, in repentance and faith. And he will then send us times of refreshing from his presence. We need to turn to the Lord and wait for him. Wait for him. What a wonderful promise there in Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." God's people back then were weary because they felt that God had forgotten them. And in this pandemic, we may feel the same, especially with churches seeming so far down the government's priority list. We need to wait for the Lord. Hold on to his promises. Keep trusting in them. And as we do that, strength revives. We mount up, it says, with wings like eagles. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Eagles don't flap, they soar. Eagles don't flap, they soar. They've got these huge wings, massive wingspan, and they just spread their wings out on, and they rise on the air currents, on the thermals. And so with us, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as the song goes. Fourth, refresh your strength with the Son of God. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The servant of the Lord, fulfilled in Jesus, says that he knows how to sustain with a word him who is weary. And so when we're weary, we need to come to Christ to hear that word which will sustain us, his word of love and grace and forgiveness and welcome. Jesus famously said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, he probably had in mind those who are weighed down with trying to get right with God through their own works. That is a heavy burden. It makes us weary, as Martin Luther found before he came to Christ. So he wrote this. He said, "I was a good monk, and I kept the rule of my order so strictly that I may say that if ever a monk got to heaven by his monkery, it was I. If I had kept on any longer, I should have killed myself with vigils, prayers, reading, and other work. Although an impeccable monk, I stood before God as a sinner troubled in conscience." So it was a heavy burden. But when he came to Christ, the weight lifted, and he wrote this. He said, "I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise." Like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, the burden fell off his back when he brought it to the cross. In our service last week, we heard James Tredgett's story of how he spent weary years trying to find rest in relationships and drugs and money and experiences before he finally came to Christ. And he found in Jesus everything he'd been seeking in vain elsewhere. And so we need to keep coming to Christ. He knows our weakness. He knows our weariness. He's the high priest who can sympathize with us. So let's keep drawing near to God through him. And also learning from his example. This past week, I suddenly got the urge to go running again. I haven't been running for years, but off I went around the Isle of Dogs, and it was great. So running gets you out in the fresh air, and it gets your heart rate up, and it gets you sweating, and it reminds you of the Christian life. Hebrews 12 pictures the Christian life as a long-distance race. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." Jesus ran this same race that we are running, the life of obedient faith, and he endured such suffering, but he kept going for the joy that was set before him, verse 2 says. So he was focused on the joy of returning to the Father at the end of his earthly race. Now those verses say that we are to look to him and to be inspired by him, by his endurance. So verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." In the race of the Christian life, we often feel, don't we, that our hands are drooping, our hands are dropping, and our legs are slowing down. Consider Jesus. Look to the eternal reward as he did, and we will find strength to keep going and pick up the pace. When you're exercising, do you have some favourite music that you listen to, some sort of motivation music you listen to? Well, looking to Jesus is the motivation music in our earphones. It's like watching a clip of Kipchoge going sub 2 hours for the marathon. It inspires us. It puts a spring in our step. It helps us not to become weary in doing good, as Galatians 6:9 puts it, knowing that we will reap a harvest at the end. And fifthly and lastly, refresh your heart with the people of God. One of the ways that God refreshes our hearts is through his people, so they are one of the channels that he uses to refresh us. That was Paul's experience. He told the Roman church that he longed to see them so that he would be refreshed in your company. He says of three guys from Corinth that they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. He said of Onesiphorus that he often refreshed me. He wrote to Philemon, "The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Refresh my heart in Christ." It's very striking, isn't it? There's Paul. He was a strong guy. He was a tough guy. But he wasn't an island. He was in relationship with lots of other fellow believers. And although he was the great apostle, he needed them as much as they needed him. He was refreshed through other believers, through their love and friendship, their fellowship and partnership in the gospel, their support and encouragement. Now, if the great apostle Paul needed that, how much more do we? On one occasion, the great evangelist, Billy Graham, was feeling weary and low, and a Christian friend came round to visit him. And Billy, slumped, exhausted, in an armchair, he handed his friend his Bible, and he said to him something like, "Please encourage me, please read something, teach me something from the Word. We need one another." Not being able to meet in person as church is a huge challenge for us as believers at this time, because we need one another for spiritual refreshment. And meeting online, although it's better than nothing, it is a poor substitute for meeting in person. And so we need to be arranging to meet up with one another, going for walks outside one-to-one, encouraging and refreshing each other. "Refresh my heart in Christ," said Paul. Who is doing that for you at the moment? Who is refreshing your heart in Christ? Are you cultivating relationships that will enable that? We have to be proactive, don't we, in battling the isolation that lockdown has imposed upon us, or we will suffer spiritually. We need others, and others need us. Others need you and the refreshment that God wants to bring them through you. And as we do that, Proverbs 11:25 says, "The one who waters will himself be watered." Or as another translation expresses it, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." "I am weary, O God, and worn out," said Agur. And thousands of years later, we echo his words, but there is refreshment to be found. There is refreshment to be found in the desert of this pandemic-stricken world. So let's make the most of the means that God has provided to revive and refresh us in body, in mind, in soul, in strength, and in heart.